Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
So we did this first service, and again, I know we've got some plans being Mother's Day, so I do want to be brief, but would anyone, and it was kind of cool first service, anybody would like to just kind of give something that they really appreciate about their mother? I'm giving you freebies here. Come on there, somebody. What is something you appreciate about your mother? Okay, so we have that. Yeah, all right. That's always good. Aubrey. Patience. How many know that your mom needed patience and you're grateful that your mom had some patience? Absolutely. Anything else? Anything else? Yes. Good advice. Praise God. Praise. Did she give you advice about Buster? Because I was going to call that suspect. She liked Buster? So compassion. All right. Compassion. That's a great trait from our moms. Rod. Yep, we're thankful for that. Yeah.
One of the best memories, well, it's not best for me, but coming after me with the Bible, showing me where my sin was at.
Okay. The old Bible bullet. Okay, okay. That's good. Any others? Yes. Well done, moms and grandmas. Any others? Otherwise, we'll keep going. Yes? Self-sacrifice. That's an awesome one. That's an awesome one. Well, that's a fantastic thing, and I know we've all... then there's folks, you know, probably like myself, who you've had other people stand, as Larry shared earlier. Other people have stood in that place in our lives, and we just like to say thank you to those individuals who have mothered us who haven't been our mothers. And so we certainly appreciate that. We're going to continue in our series, Hear Ye. We're talking about these statements. Although I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said maybe we should change this to Dilly Dilly. I guess that's the new thing. Dilly Dilly. And so instead of Amen, Amen, I don't know that they translate correctly. So I know a beer commercial slogan goes necessarily and to Scripture, but the sentiment is when Jesus would say Amen, Amen, he would say them the sentence that means it is so, so be it, but he'd say at the beginning of a sentence to draw attention to it. Now, in honor of Mother's Day, I got a picture up here I want to share with you. This is my daughter, Lainey. When she was just a couple days old, she was born, and she's going to be 16 on Friday. Stay off the sidewalks, please. So, no, we're excited about it. And so, Lainey was something, and then here's big brother taking care of Lainey. That's, you see how small Lainey was? She was itty bitty. Lainey was tiny, and there's a reason for that. And when Renita was pregnant, she developed severe preeclampsia and actually developed towards the end something called HELLP syndrome. And so we thought we were going in to have Lainey and for Lainey to be born, and Renita developed several of these complications. And what was supposed to be, you know, kind of a routine thing, all of a sudden they rushed in and said, we have to do an emergency C-section. And so here they took Renita away, and I'm kind of stuck in the hallway wondering what's going on. She's not doing well. And all of a sudden, a bunch of medical staff scurry down the hallway into the OR, of which I'm standing outside of, and they're all going, saying things in a mumbled voices. And of course, that happens. You're thinking the absolute best. Oh, everything's going great. No. So I was kind of freaking out. And then they came out and said, well, your daughter's born, but she's really, really small, and she needs to go to an incubator for a little bit. You can't really be with her. And I was torn because they wouldn't let me in the operating room, but they wouldn't let me see Lainey either. So I was kind of like stuck in kind of no man's land. And turns out that Renita's blood pressure went dangerously high. They couldn't drop it, and so they had to pump her full of magnesium. And she was in really, really bad way for several days. Here's what's odd. Several years later, we're having conversations with some friends, and they begin to ask about, you know, favorite days, best days. And Renita says, oh, one of the best days of my life was the day Lainey was born. And I'm like, a hymn came to mind. Were you there? It's like, what? I knew you were crazy for marrying me, but seriously, are you seriously crazy? Because that was a crazy day. That was a scare. It was a horrible. It was like, oh my heavens. It was panic. It was awestruck. And I began to ask her a couple of times. After that went by, I didn't really say anything. But then later I said, what's with that? That was, don't you remember correctly? Because that was a scary, horrible day. She goes, no, it wasn't. It was an awesome day. Aren't moms cool? Here's the neat thing about this. I didn't know today was Mother's Day because I'm an idiot. But when I planned this sermon, it just happened to land on today. Jesus gets moms. And Jesus gets momhood. And Jesus gets all of these things. In fact, in the Upper Room Discourse, this is Jesus' last commentary, his last teaching time with his disciples in John 14 through 17. Take some opportunity this week. Read John chapters 14 through John 17. Fantastic stuff. Jesus is teaching his disciples the importance of loving, the importance of persevering, and the big, big, big gift that he has for all of us. Now, here's our truly, truly, or our dilly-dilly statement for those of you who have to be in that one. Okay, John 16, 20 through 24. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament. We're not happy about that, right? Goes on, but the world will rejoice. Then he goes on, you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will do what, gang? Wow. And then this is the end all. Verse 21. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Well, I can see that that's absolutely true. I look at that and I'm like, wow, I've seen that. I've seen that in physical form that come to pass. And he goes on, he says, so also you have sorrow now. But I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice and no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask you will ask nothing of me. Many moms, I've asked them, what do you want for Mother's Day? And they say, I want one thing. No one to ask me for anything. Hey, moms, relate to that? I don't want to do dishes. I don't want to cook. I don't want to clean. I don't want to have to do anything. I just want to Calgon, take me away. Remember that commercial for some of you? Yeah. And so it's kind of that thing. When we get to the presence of God, the fact that we are with God is more. If I say more, it's more than enough. We're not going to want anything because merely being in God's presence, it takes care of everything. Thank you. So he says, in that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Now, it's interesting. A lot of people try to quote that verse to try to blackmail God, if it were. Hey, God, I can ask anything in your name, and therefore I have it. No, we got to take it in context. And in context is with verse 23. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. When we understand what we have in the Father, it totally changes our, you know, stereotypical laundry list of questions and things that we want from God. You know what we really need from God? Not what we want. You know what we need from God, gang? More of Him. That's your answer. Not a bigger house, not a newer car. Not a less cranky relationship, no. Not more obedient kids, not whatever. What you need more of is more of God. Verse 24, until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Now, it's interesting. It didn't say that they've asked nothing. It said they've asked nothing in his name. in his character in the correct way. He says, ask and you'll receive that your joy may be full. So my first point for us here today is this. We will encounter times of sorrow and suffering, but we're not alone. Hey, moms in the room today, have you encountered times of sorrow and suffering? Have your kids caused you to pull your hair out a little bit? But you know what? You're not alone. You are not alone. And this is a powerful thing for us. Because the disciples, if we want to look and kind of understand the context of this phrase, we have to back up just a few verses. So let's look at chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, and let's get the context. Jesus says, I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. In other words, he's saying, there's going to be a time I'm going to go away. You're going to be alone. Persecution is going to come. In fact, the religious people don't get it. Religious people don't like change. Nothing has changed because in the church today, we still don't like change. I thought I'd get an amen on that one and I didn't. Why? Because everybody's sitting in their same seat. I was going to do that thing where it's like, now everybody, here's a sermon. Everybody stand up and find another place to sit down, except you'd all be mad at me for the rest of the sermon. Wouldn't hear what I had to say. So you can stay where you are. We don't like change in church, do we? Come on, work with me. I know it's hot in here. I can go a long day. Yeah. We don't like change. There's something in us that resists change. We like the way things are. But Jesus is letting them know that in the future, there's going to be tough times and religious folks are going to struggle. In fact, the religious part of us, not the God part, everybody say religious. The religious part of us struggles with the relationship part. The religious part of our following God struggles with the relational part of our following God. Because religion is what we do for God. Relationship is understanding what God's done for us. Right, gang? Okay, so Jesus is letting them know. Hard times are going to come. It's going to be this struggle, this stress. Verse 3. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said, and he lets us know why he's telling us. I have said these things that when their hour comes, you will remember that I told them to you. So what Jesus does for us is he is foretelling of their suffering and their persecution. Anyone who says, hey, become a Christian, your life will be perfect forever, is not being honest with you. In fact, because of your faith, we have one promise because of our faith. We will, everybody say will, we will suffer because of our faith. But you're not alone. It's going to be okay. He's letting them know so they'll be prepared and they would not lose sight of the big picture, even though the road may get rough. Now, when I was in Colorado, Rod, remember when we went to Colorado? We went to that one park that we went through all those crazy roads to get to?
Yeah.
Okay, he remembers. Here's the deal. My sister's an avid hiker and she lives in Colorado. And I called her. I said, what's a cool park that I can take these kids, some of the church folks who went out there for a retreat? What's a cool park that I can take them? And she said, here's a really awesome place and there's water and there's canyons and there's waterfalls. But to get there, you got two ways. You can take like a full hour and a half or you can take this little shortcut and you're on a highway and there's this little dirt road and you're going to go down and you're going to go through a bunch of stuff and then you're going to hit a really bunch of rough road and then it'll smooth out and you'll get back on another highway. You can get there in about half an hour. I guarantee you this. Had she not told me that the road is getting rough, I'd have quit and packed, taken up my toys and gone somewhere else. Because I started to go down a hill and down a hill and down a hill. And then the road began to hairpin. And then it got from asphalt to gravel to whatever's less of gravel, dirt. And then I don't even know. It was like bear scat or whatever. We were going all over. But she had told us. If she wouldn't have told us that the road was going to get rough, I would have quit because I didn't know that it was supposed to be like this. Gang, I'm telling you today, sometimes in life, it's going to get rough. Sometimes in life, you're going to go off road. You're going to hit those patches. Here's the good news. God already knows it. And he's letting you know that through those patches, he's on the other side. In fact, he's there with you through them. Jesus foretells of their suffering and their persecution. And it's a pretty awesome thing that Jesus does that for us. In fact, Jesus prepares us for things. Let's go on to John 16, 4 through 5. Jesus continues, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asks, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. The disciples are kind of like us. They like the status quo. They don't like it when change comes. I mean, we don't like it as a church. We don't like it when change comes. I remember when we put the screens in. Oh my heavens! The Lord has left. I know, it's crazy. It happens. And I get it, gang. Seriously, I do get it. We do things to try to maximize stuff, and sometimes it ruffles feathers. I don't want to ruffle feathers, but for a purpose, we have to continue to move forward. If we're not moving forward with the kingdom, sometimes we're missing it. Remember the children of Israel? Is that them? That's like saying, time's up, preacher, time's up, you gotta go. Now everyone's like, it's not my phone, it's okay. Just tell them 12 more minutes, and we'll be done with the first point. I'm just teasing. Let me get going here. Because I know you gotta get to the buffet before the Baptist, and okay, let's go. Sorry, Matt. He's gone. I didn't say these things to you. So the disciples were sad that change is coming, just like sometimes we are. But the deal is, I know that we like comfort, but comfort does not equal Christianity. Comfort is not congruent necessarily with Christianity. It's not necessarily the same thing. We have times. The children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they were led by a cloud in the day and a pillar of fire by night. And they kept moving. Everybody say, kept moving. Sometimes they liked where they were camping. But if the presence of God moved, they better get on and move with Him. So folks, for us, we have to continue with where God has for us. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. This is what Jesus is telling him. I have to go away. And he says, but if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. The word helper here is the Greek word parakletos. The word parakletos means one who is called alongside of you to help you bear a burden. So many of us are wearing ourselves out and we're frustrated because we're doing it on our own. And we're not allowing the help, the Holy Spirit, to come and to help us. Guys, when hard times come, I know Jesus is letting us know it's a tough change. A tough change is coming, but it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. He says, if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he'll convict the world of concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Have you ever had a time where you had just this temptation to maybe do the wrong thing or maybe say the wrong thing? And you knew, come on now, you knew that it wasn't the right decision. But you done it anyway. Anybody? Anybody get that twinge of guilt where you're like, oh, I really ought, plate of cookies, no one will notice if I snitch one, right? It's a plate of raisins, and I'll give them to somebody else. You can have them. Why do we do that, gang? Why don't we listen? It's kind of like this. Right now, I'm talking, and no one hears the air conditioners, do they? Who said yes? You can hear them? You can now because we're quiet. So now if we all get still, we're like, please, Lord, let the air conditioners work. You can hear him. Gang, the Holy Spirit is there for us, and many times we just run right over. We are so busy in our own tasks, we don't take time to slow down and to chill out and to tune in to the Holy Spirit. And if we did, maybe some of the decisions we made, we would make slightly different. You're not alone. I love that sound. Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Let's all read verse 13, 14, and 15 together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Here's my second point. That means we're over halfway. We have the Holy Spirit. That's it. Let's try that. We have the Holy Spirit. And the reason we don't say amen is because we don't get what that means. The Holy Spirit is the great game changer. Look at what the Holy Spirit will do. The Holy Spirit will teach us the things of God. You ever try to read Scripture and it's like, oh my heavens, this is just... I mean, if you get in the book of Leviticus, you're like, blah, 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 begat, blah, 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 and you just get overwhelmed. And then there are times when you open Scripture, you're all like, no, it's anointed all the time. We totally get it. Yeah, I know. There are times that we go through and we try to do things, and then there are times when the Spirit of God anoints something, you read it and you get like, man, someone's reading my mail, and you just know that it's directed at you. The Holy Spirit will teach you the things of God. People ask all the time, how do you come up with the stuff that you preach about? Do you go read it in a book somewhere and give it to us? I'm going to tell you this. The Holy Spirit reveals things, gang. The Holy Spirit reveals things. I'm more concerned. That's the most important thing to me in terms of authority, of ministry, or anything. I don't care about anything else. I want to know, is the Holy Spirit anointing your work? Second thing about the Holy Spirit, and you better be ready for this one. He'll prepare you for things to come. There are times in parenting, I will, and it sounds weird, but this is just me taking preacher, teacher hat off, and now being into testimony hat. I don't know how to be a parent. My parents died when I was young. I don't know how to do this. I just don't know. What I have done is to pray, Lord, please don't let me screw up my kids too bad. And ask, Lord, please help me. Gang, this is all I can say. There are times that I have dreams, and you can call me weird, that's fine. I'll have dreams, and in these dreams, sometimes there'll be warnings. And these warnings I take very seriously, and then I'll get up and I'll pray, Lord, what does this mean? And I'll feel the Holy Spirit tell me, you need to address this, you need to focus on this. I'm so grateful. There are times in the life of the church. I can take, one particular example, years and years ago, I had a series of dreams, and in these dreams, there was this stuff that was happening in the church. It made no sense, and I went to the elders, and I said, elders, pray about this, because this isn't just indigestion, this isn't just bad food or whatever. Something's happening, because I keep having this dream over and over that something's coming to rock the church and to stir up trouble. And every time, it's proven correct. We don't see those things because we don't look for them. We assume that the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts was one way, and now today, because we're so intellectual and we've got so much enlightenment, we don't need the Holy Spirit. Pooey on that. I need the Holy Spirit. You all can do whatever you want. I need the Holy Spirit. I was waiting for something there. Prepare you for things to come. That's what he does. He also convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and this is the big one, of judgment. Why of judgment? Because there are times we look at situations in our life and we say, this is horrible, when really, it's not. I kind of laugh, there are people who come in like, oh, this is the worst thing that ever happened to me. And I just know, you know what, you're going to be better because of this. Anybody ever made a bonehead, stupid mistake and you caused a bunch of trouble? Yeah, dilly dilly, yeah, okay, yeah. We get all that one. Yeah, we've said that one. We've gotten there before in our lives where we've made very, very poor choices, very, very bad decisions. And as a result of those, we think that God can't use it. Let me tell you this, kiddo. God can use your mistakes. God can use, don't go try to make mistakes just so God can use them, by the way. Don't do that one. Well, God can use it, so I'm just going to do whatever. No, 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 no. That's rebellion, and that's going to be a mess. You have to clean up your own eggshells, but don't do that, because other people's lives get damaged when you do that. But the Holy Spirit can help us to view things in the right way, where difficult times, everybody say hard times, can become teaching times. And we can be better. That's how the Holy Spirit can turn our sorrow into rejoicing. The Mother Teresa, as I get ready to wrap up, Mother Teresa said it like this. In the light of heaven, the worst suffering on earth, a life full of the most atrocious tortures on earth, will be seen no more serious than one night in an inconvenient hotel. You ever stayed in a bad hotel? You're like, oh man, I just can't wait to get out of this place, right? And then you get out of it and you're going to be okay. I got to tell you, some of us have made our molehills into mountains. And the reason we've done that is because we're worshiping them instead of worshiping the God over the circumstance. Now, I have great compassion. In this world, we're going to have hard times. You're not alone. You're not alone. You are not alone. Which brings me to my final point is this. Don't forget the big picture. And that is eternity with God. When life gets rough, gang, this is not it. In fact, this time here on earth is just but a vapor. We have eternity. Everybody say eternity. With God the Father. And what we just read is that Jesus says when we're with Him, we're not going to want to ask for anything else. We'll be totally content. Wouldn't that be something? Eternity with a loving Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 10. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined. You haven't even dreamt it up. What God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us. How? Through who? Through who? The Spirit is going to help us understand the things that God has for us. The Holy Spirit. Boy, if nothing else, I hope that I have encouraged you to not neglect your closest companion and friend, the Holy Spirit. Reminding yourself of your future can help you frame your past and help you endure your present. I'd listened to Renita talk about Lainey's birth so wonderfully, and I thought she's crazy. You know what I found out? She's crazy in love with her. And you know what? There are times in this life we just don't realize how crazy in love God is with us. So I want to encourage my church family today. He has the ultimate relational gift for you. Fellowship with Him through the Holy Spirit. Happy Mother's Day. Let's stand to our feet. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I praise you and I thank you for your great, great love for us. And Lord, I pray that as we move forward throughout this week, I pray, God, that your Spirit would just help us, that you would help us be keenly aware of your enduring presence with us. Lord, I pray a special blessing on all the mothers here today, but on all of us as your children. I pray that we would find encouragement through your word. Help us, God, to not frame our difficult times incorrectly, but give us that judgment that comes from your Spirit so that we can see that you truly are working all things together for our good because we love you and that we are called according to your purpose. Bless each one here, Father. I pray in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen. Amen. God bless.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.